Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love. Today is Tuesday, August 11, 2015. I am your host and spiritual life and wellness coach. My website is lotuslifehealing.com. Connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/Katina, K-A-T-I-N-A, dot love, L-O-V-E, the number 8. And you can also like my page, The Awakening with Katina Love Blog Talk Show on Facebook. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on this show to share your journey to higher consciousness and promote your life's purpose and business in the healing arts, I would love to talk with you. This show is a platform for all higher consciousness healers and healing artists. Also, if you have any ideas on how we can improve this show, if you would like to hear a certain topic or have any questions, you can email me at lotuslife8@yahoo.com, LOTUSLIFE8@yahoo. Today's topic is natural and conscious childbirth. Nalita Love is a psychic card reader, conscious childbirth educator, and blogger. She promotes an assisted childbirth, natural childbirth, and educated, informed childbirth. She has had 2 hospital births and 2 unassisted births. She is a firm believer in attachment parenting, co-sleeping, and breastfeeding. But some of her most informed choices are the natural way of doing things. She has attended 3 births other than her own. She believes that children often communicate with us before they are born, sometimes even before they are conceived. Nalita has the ability to communicate with born and unborn children. She believes in our dreams are the gateways to other worlds, and that this is where the children communicate with us the most. Nalita, thank you so much for being on the show today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So what are the differences between natural birth and midwife services?
Natural births, whether you have a midwife or you're doing it solo, are unmedicated. They are untimed. And what I mean by, like, untimed is you just kind of go with the natural flow of your birth. There's no one over you controlling your birth or your baby. And then the hospital births are, you know, hospitals are where people go when they get sick. And childbirth is not a sickness. It's a superpower.
Right.
And in a hospital setting, like, you're going to be hooked up to machines. You're going to be hooked up to an IV. They're going to have the heart rate monitor on your belly, and they're also going to have a contraction rate monitor on your belly as well. You're going to be in an unnatural childbirth position, which is on your back. And that does not flow with the laws of gravity.
Right.
And, you know, a hospital setting is where, you know, maybe you have an OB or a nurse midwife, and they are, you know, constantly in your face. The nurses are constantly in your face asking if you want pain medicine. And when you start having contractions, sometimes they are overwhelming, especially being on your back the whole time and not being able to walk around freely the way that you would be able to if you had a home birth or you were with a midwife. When the contractions get more intense and someone says, hey, do you want pain medicine? That's like you having a toothache, okay? And, like, you're like, no, I'm not going to take any, you know, medicine because I only want to take something natural. And then, like, the tooth pain just shots through your brain. And then someone's like, hey, I got this morphine. Do you want some? Yeah, you're probably going to take the pain medicine, and your previous thoughts of being, like, having a natural birth are, like, completely out of the window because this pain and this pain and this pain. And it's mainly because, like, you're on your back, so that increases back labor. And back labor is, like, yeah, it increases the back labor. Back labor is, like, when you have contractions, but you feel a lot of intensity and a lot of pain in your back, and it's mainly because you're laying on your back.
Wow, it makes a lot of sense. So being in a hospital setting, it's like the whole influence of that.
Right. You're going to have a lot of influence from, you're going to have a lot of influence from your doctors. You're going to have a lot of influence from the nurses and everything like that. And they're just going to just act like it's not a big deal. Like, well, let us know if you want an epidural.
Right, because that's what they're trained to do.
Right. They're more trained in the medical part of pregnancy and childbirth, and there are times when a woman has to have an OB, but for women that have never, had any problems during pregnancy or childbirth, midwife birth, and even an assisted, if that's your thing, I don't advise that for everyone, if that's your thing, you can more than likely safely have a childbirth at home versus in the hospital. And OBs are just trained in the medical side of childbirth, so they know how to deal with emergencies. You're like, oh, you need an emergency cesarean. They know how to deal with that. That's like their expertise, basically.
Right.
Far as real life training, like for OBGYNs, like real life training, like, going to indigenous tribes and looking at how they, birth babies. There's no hospitals for indigenous tribes, you know what I mean? But at the same time, bringing home nature, what I'm about, bringing home nature and childbirth.
Right.
Because I feel from my research that the medical industry and the medical community is too involved with childbirth. They want to pretend like you only have this amount of time to safely get your baby out, and that's not true. Yeah.
So you just really kind of have to use your guidance system, really kind of have to just be in tune with who you are, and I do recommend that people do get more in tune with their bodies, not only with their bodies, but with who they are, their higher selves, their spirit consciousness is within them. And I think that guidance system will actually connect us to what's best for us in any situation, in childbirth and everything else. See, I've never had a child, so this is really cool for me to talk about and learn about this stuff. So, So can you share your experience? I know that you talked with me before about giving birth in your home after you took your shower. That was so cool. Can you share with our audience?
Yes, that was with my daughter Arabella, and she was the first unassisted childbirth that I chose to do. And the reason why I chose unassisted was because where I lived at the time, I'm in Dallas now, but then I was in Lawton, Oklahoma, and we didn't have any quality midwives or anything like that. So I was just like, fine, I'll just learn it by myself. And during her pregnancy, I, read all the books, not What to Expect When You're Inspecting. That's not a good book.
Okay.
I really educated myself on birthing procedures, and I prayed for a short childbirth. I wanted like a 2.5 hour labor. Like, I thought that would be a good thing. And I completely, I labored with her the night before. It was February 13th. And I was really hoping that she came on February 13th because I really didn't want my daughter to be born on Valentine's Day. I thought that was like really mediocre and cliche. But anyway, and I was sitting at the computer on Valentine's Day, like, talking to my friend on Facebook, and I was like, my labor just stopped, and I'm feeling some type of way. And my water broke at the computer, and and so contractions started immediately, and they were pretty much on top of each other, like, contraction, stop, contraction, contraction, contraction. So I knew that I was already probably dilated to like a 7 or 8, And I kept like pacing through the house.
Right.
If you've ever watched a mammal give birth, you'll see that they start pacing. And I was doing
wow.
all that. I was pacing and everything.
Wow.
And I was angry
uh-huh.
and I was sad. And and I didn't understand because my labor was supposed to be pain-free because I asked for a short, pain-free birth, and I didn't understand why
right.
God didn't give me a pain-free birth.
Right.
So I was fighting the pain. I was fighting it because
wow.
it wasn't supposed to happen. And,
right.
you know, eventually I got in the shower to try to alleviate some of my pain and stuff, and
uh-huh.
I started feeling kind of like the urge to push in there, but I'm like, I don't want to have my kid in the bathtub. This isn't fair, or whatever, or on the toilet. Or... So I was going to go to my bedroom or whatever to, like, get my birth space ready and stuff like that. And
yeah.
she didn't wait. When I got into the hallway, she, like, her head completely dropped into the birth canal.
Dang.
And so
Dang.
I had to just, like, basically hold on to the walls and squat and tell my partner at the time to come because she's effing coming right now.
Wow. Wow.
And it was like 3 or 4 pushes and she was completely out and he
Dang.
Caught her. And I thought that was
oh my God.
A special moment. Yeah. And then
that is just amazing.
five to seven minutes later, the placenta also came out, like, you'll feel an urge to push after childbirth, and you'll push again, and the placenta will be birthed. Yeah, it was
what
amazing.
What did that feel like, giving birth? Like, when you said her head dropped through the birth canal, you just felt it drop.
Yeah, you can just feel it. Like, it's intense. It's like intense pressure, and it feels like there's something coming out of your vagina, and you need to get it out ASAP.
Okay, so like you were squatting, right? This is how they do it. This
correct.
Is how our ancestors did it. This is the correct
right.
one of the ways, one of the comfortable, free ways to do it.
Right, to work
is,
with gravity.
Squatting, right.
Yes.
You work with gravity versus against gravity when you lie down. So this
right.
is the way God or nature intended to squat.
Right.
I know I've heard women lay on their sides or other kind of stuff too, but I think you're going to talk about that later. Just do what's comfortable for you. But for you, but
correct.
You're saying you were squatting, and I've heard that happen like in Africa, in the tribes over there.
Right. Right.
And I'm sure many other places. I just haven't like researched a whole lot, but I researched a little bit.
Right.
So,
it's okay.
Can you describe that? So she was coming. You're in the hallway. You're trying to hold on to the wall or whatever, and you're like squatting, right?
Pretty much, yes. Like not a full on squat, like ass to the grass, but like you know a halfway squat.
Yeah.
Because it only felt right. That was what felt right for me in the moment. Because she was ready to come out in the hallway. So apparently we're gonna have a birth in the hallway.
oh
and a lot of people, like when you're in childbirth education classes, they'll tell you don't try to push too fast.
Right.
But when you have that amount of pressure in your in the birth canal, which is the vagina, like you can't help yourself. And I know some people that have tremendous willpower and they're able to completely stop pushing, but I was not able to. So I tore
right.
a little bit. But I didn't
okay.
I didn't like need stitches or anything. You rarely ever need stitches because your body has this magical way of healing itself. Believe it or not, your body
yes.
can heal itself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So she was born. She was 8 pounds, 8 ounces.
Wow.
One of my biggest bees. My hospital babies were a lot smaller.
Okay.
And then I also have a water birth. My last son, Zion, he was a water birth. I manifested a 3-bedroom trailer house
mm-hmm.
that had a garden bathtub in the master bedroom, and I was like, "That's where I'm
wow.
gonna have my baby." So
tell us about it. Oh my God, tell us.
When his labor started, I just ran like a hot bath or whatever, and I sat in it, and it definitely eased up on the intensity of the contractions. And it was very beautiful. I had candles lit and everything. Like, it was totally a sensual thing.
Wow.
And my partner at the time even got in the bathtub with me to, like, massage me and everything like that. And I just want to say that if you are going to have an unassisted childbirth, it is very important that you only have people that you trust, people that you can be vulnerable in front of, and people that are going to care for you and nurture you during your labor. And my water broke at, like, about maybe, like, 3.5-4 hours in. His birth, I wanted a little bit longer birth, okay, because I'm like, okay, 2.5 hours is too intense. So let's do five hours. And his birth was literally 5 hours long.
Wow.
So about 3.5 hours in, my water broke. And when your water breaks, you no longer have the cushioning of the water from the inside. So your contractions will get a little bit more intense. And I actually pooped in the bathtub with him when I was laboring.
Okay.
It was interesting. I was, like, embarrassed. I was embarrassed a little bit, but I'm like, wait, I'm with my family. This shouldn't be that embarrassing.
Right.
And so, you know, I kept visualizing, you know, connecting with my son and him breastfeeding and, like, calming thoughts. It was completely different than the hallway birth. And
So the baby came out in the water?
It's completely safe. And you, if someone, you know, in the future, like, or you can even YouTube this, you can YouTube water births, and you'll see that, like, the babies are just fine in the water because babies, when they're first born, they're natural born swimmers. They've been in a belly full of water for a while.
Right.
So they're natural born swimmers.
Right.
So it's not as traumatic because you can, like, keep them in the water for a little while or whatever. Do whatever you feel guided to do as their mother. And I was in a very weird birth position. I was, like, kind of on my side or whatever, but, like, I was gripping the sides of the bathtub, so I didn't get to catch him that time. I didn't get to catch any of my babies. But I would like to catch a baby, but that might not happen this lifetime.
But let me ask you, how did the baby come out? Did he slide in the water? Did your partner grab the baby? Or not grab him, but did he, like, slide out easily? Or how did
he
come out?
He slided out a lot easier than just land birth, the hallway birth, you know? And
so,
I didn't, I did not tear.
Great.
Yeah,
so let me ask you this.
Maybe that had something to do with the water.
So you were kind of on your side, but you had your legs, like, wide open, right? I'm just trying to visualize.
Yes.
I don't have no clue.
Okay.
So you had your legs,
my
wide
legs
open.
Were
you were
wide.
Kind of
my legs were open, of course.
Right.
And I was kind of, like, cocked to the side. And
you're
because
to
I had
side.
Planned to, I had planned to catch him, but that's not how it worked out.
Oh, you wanted to catch the baby. Oh, you
I
wanted
did.
To do it. Wow.
I did.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So the baby came out. Okay, so what was the baby? So he just kind of eased out, like, on his own.
I mean,
right?
I had to push him out. I mean,
so,
I still had to push, but it wasn't as intense.
You know how the doctors, you know how they kind of, like, grab the baby and try to pull him out? That is, like, so bad.
Yeah, you
but
don't
anyway,
have to do that.
They don't do, okay.
You
yeah.
don't have to do that.
Like
and that actually increases your child's chance of having shoulder dyscocia, which is basically when one of the shoulders pops out or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, there's no pulling needed. The baby will come out.
Just, oh, that's cute. I just love this. Oh, my God, I just love it. So what was the, like, what was the baby, what was he doing? Like, do they all cry when they're born? Was he, were they crying or not crying?
No, they don't always cry when they're born. It took him a minute. I pulled him out of the water and put him on my chest because the skin-to-skin contact is very, very important in bonding. And, like, he finally cried, you know, but I just kind of, like, let him take his time, you know, because it's that first breath of fresh air that hits all the babies, like blood cells and organs and brain and just everything. And then they cry.
Wow.
And I think it's kind of natural because they're like, hey, I'm kind of out of my comfortable environment. Where Why am I here?
Man, where am I at?
Yeah. So I think it's like just a shock to their system. So sometimes they cry or sometimes they yell out, let out a little yell or whatever. But it's not like... Like, the stuff that we've been fed on television and in movies, that is a lie.
Right.
All that stuff
right.
is just the emergence of childbirth. But most of that is not actually true. That's not actually what happens. However, women can turn into a demon-like person when she's in childbirth. That's totally normal. We can, blame our partner. This is your fault. Well, technically, it kind of is.
Really? You co-creators? Come on.
Well, in that moment, though, sometimes you just need to shift the blame somewhere else.
Right.
But, natural, healthy, normal childbirth is not that bloody as you see it on TV.
Wow.
Like, if you're seeing a lot of blood coming from your vagina during labor, that could indicate an extreme emergency situation and you need to get your ass to the hospital. Like, that's my thing. Like, you have to educate yourself on what is normal during childbirth and what is not. You have to know how to gauge the importance of, like, what a true emergency is. A breech birth, when your child is, like, feet first or butt first, that is not necessarily an emergency. There are different childbirth positions that you can try. Like, you can get on all fours, like doggy style, and help ease the baby out of the birth canal. However, if one foot comes out,
the baby will turn around. He'll turn around, the baby.
Well, sometimes babies will turn around during childbirth, but sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll just be born butt first. Very important. Yeah.
Are you
They'll come out like
the butt.
Both of their feet will come
folded.
Out first, or their butt. Yeah. Where their legs are like just like all the way up to their head. Like.
Dang.
Not all babies come out head first. However,
yeah.
I just really want to share this information because there might be someone out here that's like, you know, eight and a half months pregnant. I can feel it. I can feel them. And there's something inside of them telling them not to go to the hospital. Like, there's tons of information out there so that you can prepare for your birth, okay? However, I wanted to tell whoever this person is out there that if one foot comes out of your vagina, you need to go to the hospital. If your placenta comes out before the baby is born, you need to go to the hospital because the placenta is the lifeline. The placenta is what creates our navel, and it's like your first feeding tube. It's your first feeding tube ever. That's what that is. And
so you were telling me yesterday it's like this mystical organ that's created when you during the child pregnancy.
Yes.
Right?
After conception. So at conception, you know, sperm meets egg, and then cells begin to multiply themselves, and they travel down the fallopian tube and implant themselves in the uterine wall. And at this time, you do not have a placenta, for the baby is just simply a zygote and is becoming an embryo. When the baby becomes an embryo, the sac starts forming. And the sac is, you know, the bag of waters and everything. And once the bag of water starts forming, you will start developing a placenta. The placenta, it often looks like the tree of life on one side and a liver on the other. Some people
wow.
can't stand the sight of their placenta, but the placenta is like the miracle organ. Because
wow.
we don't have placenta unless we are pregnant.
Wow, that is just
amazing.
And
the placenta is where all nutrients, all information, emotions, feelings, thought patterns, that is where your baby gets what it needs. And yes, our babies can feel our emotions during pregnancy. That does not mean you need to hide from your emotions. Because people are like, don't
amazing.
Be sad, your baby can feel you. No, if you need to be sad, you need to be sad. So
wow.
And the
That's
placenta
powerful.
Is also what helps start labor. When the baby's lungs are fully developed and are able to thrive outside the womb, the baby's body will send oxytocin through the umbilical cord to the placenta, and the placenta will activate with oxytocin, which is the love hormone. So labor starts with love. And the placenta will activate the uterus in the woman's body, and labor will begin. But labor is started with love, which is oxytocin. And when
That's
you
beautiful.
Actually give birth through your vagina, there is
mm-hmm.
a tremendous amount of oxytocin that is released in your brain and in your baby's brain.
Wow.
And that's why, like, you always hear about women saying, like, oh, well, I had a crappy childbirth, but as soon as he came out or as soon as she came out, I fell in love. And that is because
right.
the high release of oxytocin that is required.
Wow.
So labor starts with love and ends with love.
I love this. This has just been so amazing and so enlightening. I want to thank you for sharing that experience. We have 3 minutes left, and 1 minute or 1 or 1.5 minutes. Can you share some resources for what women can do?
I most definitely can. For unassisted childbirth, you can go to unassistedchildbirth.com. That's UNASSIS, T as in Tommy, ED. childbirth.com. That is where the bulk of my pregnancy childbirth madness started. You can also go to trustbirth.com. That is TRUSTBIRTH.com. And that is an entire, like, conference that goes around many places throughout the year that teaches women how to trust their bodies, and, like, it teaches them, like, about the medical practices versus midwifery and things like that. I also advise that every person that is ever thinking about being pregnant, that has ever been pregnant, that is pregnant, that has someone else that is pregnant, everyone needs to watch the documentary, The Business of Being Born. And it is brought to you and produced to you by Ricky Lake. Do you remember Ricky Lake?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So Ricky Lake has this awesome series, The Business of Being Born. And I think that is required
awesome.
Watching. Also,
right.
A great author and a midwife herself, her name is Ina May Gaskin. That's INAMAYGASKIN. She has a ton of books, okay, like spiritual midwifery, and
right.
she has books on childbirth and everything. And she is definitely someone that I would advise every woman, every man that is involved with childbirth, pregnancy in any way, read her books.
Awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to post this information on the event page on Facebook. You can find Nelita Love on Facebook, NELLITA, Love, L-O-V-E. She shared a wonderful story today. She's also a psychic reader. Her website is, she has a WordPress, Nalita Love, N-E-L-L-I-T-A, love, L-O-V-E, dot WordPress, dot com. I also have a book that will be out soon. It is called Awaken to Natural Wellness, and I share resources about natural childbirth. There is a book called Gentle Babies on how this woman shares her journey with having a baby and how essential oils helped her. Thank you for tuning in to The Awakening with Katina Love, and thank you, our guest today, Nalita Love. Namaste.
Thank you.